Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you so much for joining us today as Bethley and I continue our discussion entitled Investing in Your Marriage. Today we're in part 9, and we're about halfway through, and we're so happy that you've joined us for these particular topics, and we're glad you joined us again today. So let's get started. Well, as we've been talking about investing in your marriage, we've talked about really three R's is kind of how we sectioned it off. We talked about our roles and responsibilities. Right. That was one thought. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5 was the idea there, as we talked primarily about a husband's responsibility in a marriage to love and to lead. And then we talked a second time about the wives.
To submit and respect.
Those were very important because sometimes we overlook those as being so important to a marriage. We think, well, that's just old school, or we think, well, you know, we're not like that. We're more enlightened than that.
Right.
It's very interesting. I read an article not long ago, and it was not technically a Christian article, though it certainly was dealing with marriage from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. But one of the things the author pointed out was that in our society today, as we have avoided the nuclear family, that being where a husband is primarily the one that provides for the family, the wife is the one that takes care of the home, and together they raise the children.
Right.
As that idea has waned, the article said, it's also been a fact that married couples and people in general are less interested in sexual relationships.
Hmm.
And it was just a very interesting reasoning why, what it does to our thinking, which really, there's a lot to the article, and we'll probably mention it in these coming recordings we're going to do over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I thought was interesting was that it was pointing out that what God says about husbands loving their wives and leading in their homes, and wives submitting, partnering with their husbands,
right,
and then respecting him, mm-hmm, is not just a fun little thing that God came up with. It is actually inherent in our nature, inherent in our creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's vital to the success of a marriage relationship.
Right.
And for those of us who are believers, as Christians, those first two sessions are very important. Don't underestimate those. Don't overlook those and think, okay, now let's get to the good stuff.
Mm.
Because if you're not working as a husband on loving your wife and being the leader,
right,
of your home, and if you're not as a wife working on responding and partnering and submitting and respecting, then these other things, they'll work for a while, but they will not work over the long
haul. Right. If the roles are not in place, first of all, then the relationship and what we're going to be talking about in the next few podcasts, romance, that it doesn't have a foundation,
sure,
and it honestly won't happen after
it just won't.
A while.
After a while, it dies. That part of the relationship dies. You become roommates, or worse yet, strangers and enemies. But we've talked about the roles and responsibilities. Then the second section we've talked with you about for several weeks has been the idea of our relationship,
right,
becoming best friends.
Yes.
And for you that have been listening, you heard me say that my father-in-law, a pastor of 47 years in the same church, a tremendous family man, family counselor, family preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He said one of the greatest issues that he sees as a problem in many marriages is that couples are not best friends.
Right.
So that was our heartbeat over that. Bethany and I have always wanted to be best friends. We want to enjoy being together, just close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I introduce Bethley quite frequently as my girlfriend, my favorite person in all the world, and my best friend.
Yes.
And that's important. That's not just something we say. That's something we work at. We want that to be true. And I hope many of you will join us on that, that you'll work to make your marriage best friend as well.
Right.
But now we're heading into a new subject, and this will probably be two or three podcasts worth of talking with you guys here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about romance. That's the third R.
We should probably just jump in right here and say that if you're listening with little ones in the room, we will be careful. We will, but
sure,
if you don't want some questions that you're not ready to answer,
or if you're sitting at the doctor's office and you've got this on out loud.
Well, that would be strange, but anyway, pop those earbuds in or maybe wait till a later time.
Sure. Today, we're going to really just jump into this idea of romance in the marriage. Mm-hmm. And Beth and I thought we would take some time in this very first podcasting with romance and talk to you about the biblical view of the bedroom.
Right. And romance is so much more than the bedroom.
It is.
But the bedroom is very included.
It's the culmination of romance in
right,
a marriage. Now,
right,
the world ridicules the idea of of a relationship between a husband and a wife, the one person physical relationship for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. But it is beautiful. It's God designed. It's God ordained.
Right.
And we hope to convince you. And let's just begin a little bit, Bethany, with talking about why sometimes people joke about the fact. In fact, I had a friend who not long ago said, Dave Young is Dr. Sex.
Oh, my.
And what he meant by that was, is that I'm the guy he knows he can come to and talk to if he has questions about that. Mm-hmm. And he knows that in our couples conferences, we are wisely frank about the bedroom.
Right.
And Beth and I are for a number of reasons. One, we both were influenced, especially by her parents, but even by my parents, that the bedroom was not necessarily considered a negative thing in a marriage. It was always an expected, approved, appropriate, and even celebrated thing.
Right.
And we have 5 children. I think many of you would be aware of that. And our children have always not necessarily known all the details, but they've always known that there's something special about mom and dad's relationship.
Right.
And now that we have a little one, well, she's not as little as she used to be. She's 11 now.
Right.
But yesterday, my wife and I, Beth and I, were going out to celebrate our anniversary. We're going out right. for a meal, and mm-hmm. we did, you know, just went out and spent some time together. And before we left, our 11-year-old said to her mom, she said, now don't you guys be out there driving. And of course, we're like, don't be driving.
We have to drive, sweetheart. Because
we drive, we're not walking. And so she's like, you know what I mean? Don't be out there, you know, wink, wink, driving. And so we're like, what in the world? And then finally it dawned on her mom, do you mean don't go parking? She was like, oh, yes, that's what I mean, parking. Now, I don't know that she has much of an idea at all. But
no.
Because now we have 2 that are married, mm-hmm. and because of the fact that Bethany and I celebrate the fact that we're married, that we're in love, mm-hmm. my 11-year-old, who really is quite clueless at this point about these things, knows there's something really special in being married,
yes.
that you can go parking or
yes.
driving. So the good thing here is that I like this. I have a new little wink, wink phrase to my wife. Okay, sweetheart, you want to go driving?
So, oh, dear.
Here's just something we want to talk to you about. One of the things we see in counseling, even our children who would come home from Christian college mm-hmm. and talk about their roommates, as these kind of topics would come up in a room with college students, mm-hmm. one of the things we became very aware of very fast is that there are more than a few very unbiblical views of marriage
yes.
and sexuality.
Yes.
Many, many. Share a couple there that you've been aware of, sweetheart. I know there's a lot I can mention, but just share with our audience some that we hear that even your daughters talk to you about.
Right. I know that there are young ladies and maybe even young men out there that have been taught that the biblical intimacy between a husband and wife is something that is something not to be talked about. It almost, their parents would give it a perverted view mm-hmm. of, oh, no, we don't talk about that. We don't mention it. It's just something that you just, yeah, it happens in marriage, but no, we're not going to talk about it. And so children grow up with a, oh, no, that must be bad. Mm-hmm. And then enter marriage and feel guilty. Also, there could be girls that have been taught wrongly that the intimate relationship between a husband and wife is only for the husband, and it's something you have to put up with. That is, again, a wrong view.
Yeah. And those are more common than we realize,
right.
those views.
You wouldn't think so in our culture. And I think the parents' hearts are in the right place because our culture is so perverted yeah. in its view of biblical intimacy. And so they want to, quote, protect their children.
Sure.
And so they give them information or no information, thinking that they're being biblical, and all they're doing is giving them a wrong view.
Yeah, I know that when even when I was a kid growing up in church, anytime you heard sexuality mentioned, it was immorality, it was adultery, it was wicked, it was evil, it was perverted.
Right.
And the idea was, stay away from this. This is ungodly. This is wrong. Stay away from this. And all of that was right.
Right.
The thing that I never got was that when you get married, this is holy and sacred and special.
Yes.
And so I know that even sometimes in our counseling, we have counseled couples who where the husband has no interest in the bedroom at all. Mm-hmm. He's not interested. And there's been strange reasons for that, as well as some expected reasons for that. Mm-hmm. Pornography can cause that,
right.
An addiction to pornography, that is, and issues from the past, abusive situations and things of that sort. So there is a lot going on. And Bethany and I, just for the record, never thought, as we began introducing our children to you're going into puberty, and we started conversations with our children. Here's what's going to happen to your body, and here's why. Mm-hmm. We didn't go into great detail, but an awareness that God is changing you from a child to an adult. Mm-hmm. And we decided that, especially in the information or in the age in which we live, I call it the misinformation age, because our kids go online to look things up and don't find truth; they find error.
Right?
They find lies. Mm-hmm. If they stumble onto pornography when they're 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 or even 13 or 14 or 17, they have a skewed view immediately of the bedroom.
Right.
And the result of that is, we decided for our children that information is power.
Yes.
It doesn't destroy innocence. It gives them information to know about life, to know what is normal, to know what is biblical, and to be prepared, to protect themselves from that which is wrong, but to look forward to that which is right.
Right.
And so that's why we are coming to you to talk about the Bible and the bedroom today.
Right. Biblical truth is always in order.
Always.
Always.
Always, always. So we're actually going to take you to four passages just to give you a biblical view that God's word is pro human sexuality in marriage.
Yes.
It's pro the sexual relationship of a marriage. And here's four passages that teach that. And we'll start in Genesis 2. And this is where God created the world. It's the story of God putting Adam to sleep. And the Bible says it like this. I'll just read it to you. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And then listen to this. And the Bible says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So there's definitely something unique here about this man and this woman being married by God. The Bible is very clear to say that they are to be one flesh, and being naked, they were not ashamed. Hmm. This was not a shame to God. This was something designed by God.
Right.
To get the full picture, you have to go back to chapter 1, where the Bible says that God created man in his own image, and the Bible then says that he made them male and female. And then it says that God blessed them. God always blesses the marriage relationship. God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." That's in verse 28 of chapter 1. In verse 29, he said to them, "I've given you food." And we have a very close friend who pointed out to me one day that the first two directives God gave to Adam and Eve as a married couple was to make love. He blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." That's the sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. The second directive he gave to them was to eat. And so my friend said, apparently that's God's divine order. In marriage, sex is more important than food. So I don't know that I could theologically prove that, or I don't know how to teach that in a seminary.
Depends on how hangry your wife is.
I guess that's true. That's a valid point, sweetheart, or as our son would say, quality. That's quality. So in Genesis 2, we find that God's first command to Adam and Eve was about the marriage relationship of the bedroom. The point I'm making here is that in God's word, from the very early pages of God's word, the Christian view of marriage is that it's pro the bed. It's pro sexuality. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Bethany, Joy, and I are just so happy that you've joined us today, and we're thankful to be a part of your marriage, a part of your life. We hope you'll continue tuning in and listening as we continue this discussion about investing in your marriage. Join us next time for part 10. In the meantime, don't forget to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.